The next stop is Knickerbocker Avenue.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's Fortune 500.
Uh-huh.
I burn his production.
That's right.
And we repping for the New York Knicks.
Live from the garden, the Knicks game started. The blue and the orange, the best five starting. Regardless if it's close or a large margin, we hungry for a win. The fan base starving. Bound and astounded, dishing and we swishing. We run the whole city, ain't no competition. From Patrick to Willis, Frazier to Strickland. The next generation, we carry on tradition. Year after year, season after season. Arena full of fans, screaming out defense. Playoff intensity, got our heart beating. The sneakers keep squeaking, hear the heart breathing. Swishing through the net, the players take flight. Vibing with the vets, the coaches need a fight. Hit them with attack, the players about to fight. It's all about respect, ain't taking any slight. A piece of the apple, about to take a bite. About to take a ride, out to new heights. This is our year, the future real bright. Shining real bright like the New York City lights. We rapping for the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks. We rapping for the New York Knicks. Let's go, we the New York Knicks.
It's the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum on the Bleed Blue Show.
Yes, we are. We are the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. This is the second round continuation episode, pretty much a part deuce of last week's episode. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. We're going to, of course, start with our series with the Knicks and the Pacers and get to the rest of the NBA towards the latter of this episode. I was on Knickerbocker Avenue's Instagram Live last night. Shout out to Knickerbocker Ave on, you know, doing a fantastic job bringing Knicks fans together on his Instagram Live, and we talked about the game five win over the Pacers, and especially what happened after the debacle on Mother's Day in game four in Indiana. But way to go, way to bounce back. And I said on that episode, and we'll bring on the people, but as far as the construction of the roster, how the depth of it, you know, got to give credit to Leon Rose in the front office for this next man up situation we got going on, because most teams, if your roster isn't fully equipped or have enough depth, most teams won't survive what the Knicks are currently going through, yet they still have a 3-2 nothing lead. I brought that up to Knickerbocker Ave on his IG Live last night, and we will continue that conversation as well. Bring on Ave right now, and then we'll bring on Dom. But Ave, what's up, man? You know, I was just saying how I was on your IG Live. We got Dom with us. How you doing, man? How's everything?
I don't know. I must be getting that flu that everybody's been getting around. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because I'm feeling great. Feeling great. Feeling that orange and blue love, man. I can only just say this, is that, you know, it is so nice to listen to those, you know, to watch those talking heads go from, you know, doom and gloom to
who's the talking
this
heads?
Team is pretty.
Who's the talking heads? Who's the talking heads?
You know who the talking heads are. I mean, I don't have to tell
no,
you.
No, I don't. That's what I'm asking.
I don't want to mention their names. I don't want to, but the supposed analysts, the supposed, you know, all your talk shows
hold
and everything.
Before we get into all that, because I see where this is going. Hold on, let's get Dom on. I don't want to keep him waiting. And then let me go back to you can continue your thoughts. Dom, we see you, man. We don't want to keep you waiting, man. How you doing, boss? And then we'll go back to that. How you doing, Dom, real quick?
Good evening, fellas. Let's roll, Steve.
All right. I just want to make sure we get Dom on. I don't like keeping people on waiting. But go ahead, Av. Continue your thoughts, man.
Well, you know what? It's just beautiful to see how 24 to 48 little hours can change the perspective of how certain people look at this series and this team. It's just beautiful to see how they go from doom and gloom to maybe the Knicks just clinched this series without having to play Game Six, which they haven't. But to, you know, after Game Four, you know, the performance that they pulled out, and coming home to Game Five, in front of our fans to kind of basically return the favor, and show fans, show the Pacers, show everybody, you know, who the true better team is. I mean, without a doubt, the better team in this situation is the Knicks. Not saying that Indiana's not good, but the true better team in this series is the Knicks, and they're showing you why. They're up 3-2. You know, we got a couple of days off till Friday's game 6, and without missing a beat, Jalen Brunson right now, as I currently speak, he's in the company of legends. We're talking about guys. He's being mentioned in the same league as guys like Wilt Chamberlain, Bernard King, Michael Jordan, and Jerry West. That's can't even put into words. Go ahead,
right, hold on. Let's get Dom started. But let me quickly retort, because the talking heads point. Why do Knicks fans care? That's the only question I got for people who care what pundits got to say. This is the reason why we have a show. Why do we care what other people got to say about our team? That's the question. Why do you care? Like, that's the question.
I only care because I get tagged in a lot of these posts, and you know, a lot of people will send me this post and say, "Hey, Av, check out what this guy said. Check out what that guy said." And a lot of times
that
I just say,
is,
"I don't care."
Yeah. Okay, but that's fair.
But
that is fair. That's a fair point.
So
I would have told him I don't care, but go ahead.
So then, so when I get those posts, and it's not like I mind them. You're making it somewhere. If people are thinking of you and you know, say, hey, we want you to respond to this, we want you to respond to that. And so whenever people send me those kind of those videos and clips, I'm always thinking to myself, okay, that's an interesting take, and because I don't even watch TV, regular network television.
Right, that's
my point. So the only way I know about what the pundits and the talking heads be saying is people will send them to me, and they'll ask me, hey, what do you think? And I'm like, okay, I'll give you my honest opinion.
You know what? I get what you're saying from that point or perspective. People tag you and they want to get your perspective on what other people say. But that is the biggest issue I have with New York fans. As rabid as we could be for all 9 squads between New York and New Jersey, the pro teams, too many citizens worry about what the TV has got to say about the whole goddamn thing we're already watching. And that's the biggest issue I have with New York fans. It really grinds my gears. Don, what's up, man? How you? And we definitely go back to Ab because we got to continue the conversation from your IG Live after the win last night. No, what's up, man? As a matter of fact, if you want to chime in on not only what we're speaking to as far as what Ab is saying about opinions about other people's opinions, but also your thoughts on the game last night, and we'll go back to Ab. I just get really, not to you, Ab, but it's just the fan in general. They are so weirdos when it comes to this shit, man. But Dom knows where I stand when it comes to this whole topic. It's not even just sports. It's just life. You know what I'm saying?
It's strange, Steve, because what Ab is talking about, in the Knicks community on Twitter, I've been known to be the therapist, the guy that smooths the waters, brings people back to calm. And 90% of the time I get invited to these spaces, I'm basically talking to Knicks fans and those Knicks fans that, damn the media, Steve. We're talking straight up fans. Those fans that, after a game, want to jump ship. You know, they're talking about coulda, shoulda, woulda. You know, and my goal this week was when we got smoked on Sunday. I said, man, it was only a minute ago that the Nuggets lost by 26 and came back the next game and beat Minnesota by 27. You know, we're still in control of our destiny. I find that harder, Steve, than you know how me and you are, as far as, like, the media. What I'm talking about, guys, is straight-up Knicks fans, you know, that just annoy the shit out of people. And then they wrote me in, like, come on, Dom, come in and you know, like you said, Steve, that's why we have this. We talk basketball. You know, if you can't appreciate what we're doing and we got to go around the world in 30 days, then we're missing the fact of there was a game. There was a game. There was a game that we won. There was a game that we smoked these clowns, and we get to move on. And you know what, guys? Again, just like before this game started, we were still in the driver's seat. You would think by hearing, again, Knicks fans, that we was on the brink of elimination. Like, hey, Steve, if we lose Tuesday, we're going home. I mean, can we all count to seven? I mean, really? I mean, let's keep it basketball, man. Let's keep it basketball. Not narratives. Not, again, coulda, shoulda, wouldas. Let's just keep it basketball. We got our asses handed to it. I must be the jinx with Av's Instagram Live. Every time I try to chime in, he can't invite people on. So maybe I'm the bad luck charm, but I try every game. But, again, let's keep it. Let's keep it basketball oriented. If you couldn't appreciate last night's game, guys, because we can't keep talking about what the pundits are saying, because somebody, Steve, is going to say, hey, you know what, Steve, the Knicks got their asses whooped on Sunday. We can't avoid that elephant in the room. Somebody got to report that. Now, how far you take it and how serious you take it and how many stones you want to throw, that's a personal thing. But I tend to just want to watch the game, see what happens. And you know what, guys? I've been like this all year. I thought we had a pretty good team. Did I get down and out with all the injuries? Yeah, but then I saw a new wave of these guys just won't quit. This is what we should be talking about. This no-quit mentality, this next man up shit that you hear as a cliche, but the Knicks are actually doing it. This isn't a cliche no more with us. You know, damn, Steve got hurt. We pulled the hot dog vendor out the stand, and he's getting 12 points. This is the shit we should be talking about, guys. Forgive me for cursing. Yeah, forgive me for saying the S word. But you know what I mean.
Question for you and Nick.
Basketball, man.
Quick question. Did they already give out that? I mean, not that I care, per se, but, I mean, for this particular part of the conversation, is kind of warranted. Did they already give that Executive of the Year award already out? Did they already announce that?
They did.
Leon came in like fifth.
Wow. Really?
Wow.
Who was? Do you know who was above him? The top four or above? Wow. That's hard to believe.
Let me look it up. I'm looking them up right as we speak. So.
Okay. Yeah. Do it. Go. Don, continue your thoughts as Av looks that up. That is crazy because they should kind of wait that out to situations like this, because that kind of carries over to where we are now in the playoffs. Like, how is he fifth with this roster? Go ahead, Don.
I think Brad Stevens won it. But, again, Steve, like you always say, man, and the reason I chime in with y'all, we go back a good ways, but we always talk basketball. Even when the Knicks won 17 games, we were pissed off. We were throwing stones, but we still talk basketball, you know. So why are we going to go away from that? Because a Draymond Green, you know, labeled one of the smartest players in the NBA, but he can't stay on the court for his team. I never got that, and I don't care. He's not a Knick. But we get too caught up in what these clowns are saying, and we're missing what's actually going on. I always say this, Steve, and I'll stop. If you show me a team in the NBA, right now, this NBA, this season's NBA, if you show me any team that was missing 3, 4, 5 main characters their team and they were in the second round, I surrender.
Right.
Show me any team that would have did that.
I'm with you. That's what I'm saying to Av. Like, yo, like, that type of award, you kind of have to – they should wait it out to see where rosters are during their playoff run, because look what the Knicks are. Like you said, if Brad Stevens won, they lost. Okay, Porzingis, who's, I think, in and out of the lineup right now. Let's say they lost Drew Holiday. Let's say Jaylen Brown. That's like their version of Randall as far as importance. They would be shot, I would think. Their depth is nowhere. I don't think no team right now is as deep as what it is. The way Alec Burks has been doing, as much as we were saying, man, he's not going to be in the lineup, he's out of the rotation. I mean, he's the constant professor. No, he was the ultimate insurance card. He's the ultimate insurance card this
remember,
series.
Remember a couple of years ago when the Knicks were in the playoffs, and I used to chime in on the thread on Facebook, and I used to always say, Alec Burks for president, because he was always that guy that just happened to do the right thing at the right time. Oh, come on, man. He misses shots. Doesn't everybody? I mean, this is the part of the topsy-turvy Knicks fan that has a memory span of a fucking, excuse me, of a two-year-old that don't remember nothing, you know. You know, Alec Burks all of a sudden can't play basketball? Really? I mean, come on, man. Stop. The kid's a professional.
It did look a little shaky at first when we got him back. It did look a little shaky at first. I mean, he wasn't 2 years ago version of him when we had him when he was running point guard. But, man, in this series, I mean, he's been big in those corners, man. He's been in that OG and an OB knocking down those threes. Ad, what are your thoughts, man, continuing the conversation? I mean, McBride stepped up and Alec Burks especially. I mean, those two in particular. And you said it last night on your IG Live, Ad, the fact that Thibodeau went with McBride over Achiuwa for the starting lineup. And you know, that was a great move.
That was ballsy. It was very ballsy because considering that, you know, he likes to go small. We already know that, and the fact that he went small and the thought process behind that was that you're going to have Deuce McBride set screens to alleviate some of the pressure off of Brunson, so that way Nembhard would have to catch him, you know, have to catch up to Brunson on the switch, and that's where Brunson will end up cooking his ass like he did pretty much all series long, and so that was a brilliant move. Not only that, you're adding another defender since you're down OG Anunoby. You're adding another shooter because you're down OG Anunoby and Bojan Bogdanović. I mean, it makes perfect sense now in hindsight. But at first, I start to scratch my head. It's like, why is he going small, like really small? Because because bringing in McBride, you're throwing him at the two. That means that Dante's three and Hart is four. But it worked, and not only did it work, but it paid huge huge dividends, considering that, you know, Tibbs is still going to play only seven or eight guys. I think he went a little bit deeper, of course, because there were some garbage minutes. But before he started to empty the bench, he only went about seven or eight deep. And you know, I think that this team is just built to this and is designed to be that. I just feel like with all this talk about the minutes, and he's running players into the ground. Dom keeps on painting in this point, night in and night out, about how he really doesn't, because there's not a Knick that's averaging more minutes than such player. Of course, in the playoffs, it's a little bit different, but look at the dividends. I mean, just look at the results here. We're one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals, a place we haven't been to in 24 years. And we're doing it, like you guys just mentioned, without our number two scorer, a two-time All-Star, without our starting center, without our starting small forward and best defender, without, some bench pieces, and we're still one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. That just...
Yeah.
And
the crazy thing is that while Leon... Sorry, Dar, I'll let you rock, but since Leon didn't even get Executive of the Year, but Tibbs should have gotten Coach of the Year, or at least been at least in the top two or three. I understand why you won't give it to him, but he should have been heavier than that conversation, in my opinion.
The OKC coach got it, right?
I believe so.
And that's they did. I mean, that team was even in the playoffs, and they went to the number one seed in the West. That's. I mean, you could sell that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could sell that. But Thibodeau should definitely be right up there. Go ahead, Dom, and I'll speak after you. Go ahead, Dom. You were about to say something?
Here's the thing that really got lost in last night's transaction with starting McBride. Halliburton had 9 shots, 13 points.
Oh, we were going to get
that was from? They had
Oh, no.
Yeah, they had Deuce McBride. Come on, guys. It was only 5 minutes ago that nobody knew Deuce McBride could shoot this good except if he was in the G League. But we always knew he could play pretty good defense. He was a dog on defense. And you know what he did last night? I'll leave it right there. Come on, guys. Thibodeau,
let me ask you this, Dom.
Takes a lot of heat. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Steve.
No. Finish your thought. I'll ask you the question, then we'll bring on live. Live's here with us, too. Go ahead.
Finish
your thought, and I have a question.
Thibodeau takes a lot of heat because, and you know what the one thing I can like? You know, Thibodeau will say, just like he said a year ago or so when it was with Randall, and he was like, I don't know because I don't read Twitter. I'm not on Twitter. I don't care what Twitter says.
Neither.
I've got to coach the New York Knicks, period, end of conversation. And that was like, wow, you know, he – say what you want, man. Again, to lives to Av's point, the closest Nick in minutes was Jalen Brunson at 16. He was 16th in minutes played. And if you saw the list, you would be astonished that, damn, these guys are a lot older than our dudes. They're still playing more minutes than us. Man, they'd be dead if they was on a Thibodeau team, huh? So they say. But I digress. It's just another talking point that don't make no sense, and he keeps proving everybody wrong, man.
Let me ask you this before we bring on live. Abby, you can answer this, too. If knowing who we got right now with McBride, and we've seen him since he's come into the league from West Virginia, but would things be different if – I don't want to – it's a loaded question, but if – Emmanuel Quickly was in this role right now getting those minutes, what would the series be like? I think we'd be in trouble a little bit because as much as I like Quick, he's not the pit bull to slow opposing. I mean, he plays good defense, but what are your thoughts on what if Quickly was in that situation? Because we're talking about the depth. It's all related with the management, with, you know, Leon Rose, the way, you know, Burks is on this roster and productive minutes. McBride, how things were going with the old guard right now versus the same Indiana.
The truth, and then Abby went into
that too. Then we're going live.
The truth is in the numbers, Steve. The truth is in the numbers. We see where we went and our ascension when this all happened. I said this so many shows ago. At night, Leon Rose traded Emmanuel Quickly, R.J. Barrett, and Quentin Grimes 5 minutes after they gave Deuce McBride his extension. Somebody knew something, Steve. I am not an executive. I am not a GM. I don't play one on TV. But right after that move, the Knicks just took off. Yeah, we could say we got Ananobi. We could say whatever we want. But they signed Deuce McBride and told everybody else to get the stepping because we saw where we were going with them, guys. Let's just keep it a buck. Quickly was, you know, on again, off again, shoot you in, shoot you out of a game. McBride plays a more controlled game. He's a damn better defender than both of them, all three of them. He's a better defender than all three of them put together. So, again, somebody knew what they was doing, but damn what Dominic said. Look at the ascension when we got rid of these guys to where we are right now. That's all I could say. The proof is in the pudding.
Ab, what do you think about that? And then I'm going to lie.
The quick answer to that is simple, no pun intended. You're talking about Emmanuel Quickly, R.J. Barrett, and Quentin Grimes. Between the three of them, that would have been an additional, 35 to 40 shots a night and not at a consistent clip because, you know, Quentin Grimes, would disappear. And Emmanuel Quickly thinks he has a green light. And, of course, R.J. Barrett thinks he's a shooting guard. So doing those numbers alone, you wouldn't have the ascension of course, Deuce McBride. You wouldn't get Dante DiVincenzo being able to, to start creating and looking for his own shot. You wouldn't have Jalen Brunson having the affordable space because, you know, he would have to actually be competing with Randall, Barrett, and Quickly, you know, for ball time. And we would not be in the position that we were in right now. We would probably have been knocked out in that first round. We would have been knocked I guarantee you, we would have been knocked out in the first round, if not just barely make the play-in, because it would have been a struggle just to get the ball to stick to one place or keep the ball moving. You know, throughout this playoffs, you saw Boyan started coming up. He went down. Then, of course, you got Alec Burks. Deuce McBride,
Don just talked about it. Pressure to Chua does, does put pressure to Chua does. Mitchell Robinson, before going down and before getting operated on his ankle again, was a lockdown. I mean, offensively, he was still only going to give you like 6 points, if that, but he was still doing what he had, what he did. Now, look what Isaiah Hartenstein did last night. I mean, it's just, I don't see these kind of performances, this kind of production from individual players, you know, as part of a team environment. I don't see that happening if you have that ball struggle, you know that tug of war for the ball between Emmanuel Quickley, Julius Randle, Jalen Brunson, and R.J. Barrett. I just don't see how that works.
Yeah, you're right, man. I agree with that. And all these guys that are currently in the lineup getting a lot of minutes, these are straight motor guys. These guys got a motor on them. You mentioned their Hartenstein. And these guys are just energizing bunnies out there, right, Mr. Live? Mr. Live, we were talking about Alec Burks' strong production in Game 5. We were talking about McBride and his strong minutes, him getting a start over at Chua, which has got us a 3-2 lead. What's up, man? How you doing? And no crispy jerseys? What is it like, man?
Yeah, what's good, y'all, man? Everything is orange and blue haze right now. You know what I'm saying? It's a great, great feeling and thing to see how the Knicks have overcome this hurdle, right? And I think the hurdle we most talking about is the national discourse of us being tired and whatever have you, and maybe even in trouble in this series. Let me just say with that, man, that I thought that Carlisle outcoached Tibbs in that fourth game, right? Not so much, and again, I can agree to an extent about the minutes, right? And I'll explain that. But I thought it was more maneuvers, right? Thibodeau didn't sub in that first quarter till 3:40, 3:15 in that. Carlisle's first sub in that was at the 7 minute mark, 7:30 something. All right, another half a minute after that, he subbed in another two players, right? So that jump that happened in that first quarter in that fourth game happened because there were fresher legs, and again I'll go to somewhat the refs letting them lay on the Knicks aggression wise. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of factors, not all fatigue. You know what I'm saying? But that game, I think Tibbs got out coached. This game, you've seen a different situation. You've seen people getting rest. You've seen people finally getting up off the bench and getting some run and Burke mob. You know what I'm saying? I'm part of the Burke mob. You understand what I'm saying? Precious played his I need a check game as he's done all season, right? You know what I'm saying? Deuce comes in and plays with no worry, and starts and plays with an aggression on his jump shot, with an aggression, as Dom said, on his defense, because he shut your man Halliburton down. Well, my man Halliburton down for 8 points. Don't give me that 13 points. Because he got the last couple of points in garbage time. They was done. They was finished. So Dukes locked his ass up. You understand? And he's some tiny. Halliburton, I didn't see through this whole situation. Now he's some tiny. He got back home and got pressure. That little 35-point outing was pressure. And his back might not have been hurting as much or whatever the case may be, whatever. You understand what I'm saying? But, again, man, I think we gotta control hold on the series right now. I want to go back to Pacers and dead them. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just want this over with. I just want this over with because I want to see the Celtics, and I think we can win that one.
Yeah. Hopefully, if we finish this off in six, then whatever the Celtics do to the Cavaliers without Donovan Mitchell tonight, that should start up as soon as Sunday, I believe, right? So,
okay.
Let me add this too, man. Let me ask you. This is actually open for all you guys, and Live alluded to it as far as Tyrese Haliburton being really limited, shut down for the second time in the series. I am kind of anxious to see how the game is going to be called if McBride is on Haliburton and Haliburton is going to – I believe he's going to do the same thing in Game 3 like he will try to do in Game 6 and how the refs are going to call the game with McBride on him because that's going to affect, of course, our rotation and whatever adjustments Thibodeau is going to make to sub in, to sub out McBride if he gets into quick foul trouble, if you see what I'm saying with that. Because we know these refs could definitely do that, and I'm not going to out them, but this is sports, man. Like guys get into these cheap fouls and I can see McBride getting into quick too if Haliburton is a more aggressive in a game six win or go home type of game. A winner for their situation, win and extend the game to seven. How do you guys feel as far as what the possibility of that seeing that happen in game six? Anybody?
Yeah, I think, you know, to that question, I think Deuce is a much smarter and less aggressive defender than, you know, if you notice how Naismith plays Brunson, right? Very draping, very physical, very contact heavy. Deuce doesn't play like that. He doesn't play like T.J. McConnell, you know, another guy who's running fanatically around you and contacting you and bodying you, doing that Euro defend with your chest kind of situation. You know what I'm saying? Deuce doesn't do that. Deuce is he's not a hands-on guy. He's an in front of your face on the pressure on the point, on the ball kind of situation. Then when he gets in the half court, he's not allowing you to get a pass. So he's fronting you a lot, and his speed enables him to prevent that pass. So you know what I'm saying? My worry in your question, Steve, is now will they continue to allow them to play, to allow Deuce to play how you've been calling the fucking all series.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Because yeah.
So, Av and Dom, what are your thoughts on that as far as how we're talking about as far as how the game's going to be called?
Well, for me, Commissioner Bobblehead has lost his theory. You guys remember, and I kept saying it, after the All-Star break, he went to the refs and said, hey, we need to start swallowing some of these whistles. The games are taking too long. They're not interesting. This is what the fans are saying. You know, these instant replays, these challenges are taking 2 weeks. But now we go from swallowing the whistle to using them sporadically. So now, again, guys, the refs are human beings too. You know, which way do we go? You know, he says swallow. Now we don't swallow. Now we get an altercation. And, you know, so what the hell are they thinking? Here's what I think, guys. It's the NBA. It's basketball. Make the call. I can never understand that theory. That's not a playoff foul. What is a playoff foul? A foul is a foul. A foul in the first quarter is a foul in the fourth quarter. We lose sight of that because of all this bullshit we hear. Call the game, guys. That's it. There's only one way to call the game. Steve hits Dom. It's a foul. Period. End the conversation. Right. What are we debating here? We're making too much out of this shit. Call the game the way the game was meant to be called. That's my take. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, it really just depends on what the Vegas score line is going to be. For, you know, how the bettors are going to be, you know, parlaying this. And really, who's going to be the referee? You know, who are going to be the officials for this game? I doubt it'll be Scott Foster again. But if it just happens to be, you know, and any of the other guys, you know, that have been very questionable in terms of, you know, the selectiveness in blowing that whistle. Let's just say that I'm not gonna say that, you know, the refs are gonna decide this series, but I think that they're starting to play a little bit more, too much of a role, of an active role in this series and in these playoffs for the lack of calls or the logic behind some of the other calls that they've made. And I'm just kind of curious, how are these refs going to be calling the playoffs going forward? And will it have something to do with, you know, television ratings and or sponsorships? Because sometimes I feel like that it does play a role in it.
I would assume that the Knicks are carrying the ratings, though. It has to be the Knicks. All these other markets, maybe Boston, but nowhere near close to New York. New York's carrying the ratings. It has to be. Ain't nobody watching basketball in Minnesota
is.
Like that, or Oklahoma City, you know what I'm saying? They getting ready for college football or some shit. I gotta ask you guys this. Let me ask you guys something. I'm gonna trigger you guys with this, man. Like, how did you guys feel? I don't think I ever cussed so loud watching the Knicks game when Nimark made that lucky ass three at the end of game three. But what you call when that shit went in? What was your guys thoughts on that went in, man? I yelled, man. I cussed, yo. Like, what was your thoughts at that moment when he made that shit and Halliburton shaking his head like, I can't believe you made that shit? Because we all was like, God damn, what the fuck?
I stood there, man, right? Because I was like, okay, we got this, right? I'm looking at the clock. I'm feeling it. Like, I feel like it's over. It's a wrap. Like, it's done. And he threw the corniest. And Brunson,
yeah.
Let me just say, he did not play the best defense on this guy, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was too far away from him. But that was Steph Curry. That was Steph Curry territory, Trey Young. You know, that was one of them stupid ass that used to get you benched back in the day shots. He hits this small, and it wasn't that he hit it. It was his face, right? Like, his face.
He didn't
like
believe that shit.
Disney was. He looked at it, and you could hear that little Disney cartoon music, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you wish you wanted your dog. Like, he did some amazing shit, and I was just like, look at this motherfucker. You know, I was like, God, dog. And then the thing was like, damn, we just lost that. Yeah, we just lost that day. It's a wrap. I was like, I don't know how you got so, but I was done. I was finished. I didn't even
cartoons
the next day. I don't think I looked at no basketball update the next day. None.
Facts. Evan, who are you guys going through, man? I was human.
Personally, I'll be completely honest. I just happened to be taking a drink of water, and the water came out my nose because I was like, "What the fuck?"
Damn.
and the sad thing about it was that once that shot was in the air, for some reason, time just slowed down just like a half millisecond, and I'm like, mm-hmm. "It's going in," and it still happened. I was like, it's going in, shit. And then it just goes, and then it's like a teardrop, it goes in, and it's like, at least, I mean, obviously, I think everybody was just thinking to themselves, like, it's just the one game. It's just the one game. You didn't think that you were going to get the game four performance that we did. However, I did state that before the series started, there's going to be a lopsided game. I'm pretty sure that it was going to be a lopsided loss. We got that. I didn't expect game five for the Knicks to respond. I expected them to respond, just I didn't expect them to respond this way. And so it was a very pleasant surprise, considering that, you know, the Knicks not only, you know, got the victory, put a hurting on them, put them at the brink of elimination, but they did it by 30. And so all was good with the world. The scales were back in balance.
Right. Can I ask a question, right, on that blowout game, right, at Conseco?
Hold that question. Don, hold on. Before you do that, Don, can we get your thoughts on that? Then go ahead and live cast that question. Go ahead, Don. What were your thoughts on that?
You know what I thought when the shot went in? We got a chance. We made it down court. Brunson, there's two people open. DiVincenzo and McBride. Yeah. Why take that dumbass shot he took? And then the Knicks scored 16 points in that quarter, guys. So it was much bigger than just that shot. You don't score 16 points in a quarter and still have a chance to tie the game. No, that don't really happen all too many times. But I didn't give up when he scored because I looked at the clock. I said, hey, we can get a good shot off. We didn't have a timeout, remember? We can get a good shot off.
Yeah.
Two guys, wide open. And game over. But then again, like I said, 16 points, fellas. You don't win many games scoring 16 points in the final quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Live, your question?
Just real quick, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't think we was done until after the second half. Right? Even, like, I think we were down 20-something. And that third quarter, I was like, okay, you know, because this year, and this is a credit to the team, this year we have come back from those kind of deficits, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't lose those. We haven't lost those kind of games this year. Not blow. I don't remember a blowout this year. Like, serious. I don't remember nobody taking us 15, 20, like 20-point win.
You talking about in the playoffs or regular season? Everybody was there when they were in Anobi. We was killing Denver. We killed everybody.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think he was talking about
the blowout losses, not blowout wins.
Losses. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was our first one.
So at halftime, I'm sitting there going, oh, we good. We're okay. We still got a chance, right? Mm. We still got a chance. But then it was just like that shit. Ooh, excuse my language. That thing went up 43. I was like, yo, what the hell? I turned it off. I didn't watch the rest of that game, dude. Like, I was just done. I was finished. I was like, 43 points. I was like, oh, Jesus Christ.
You know. I watched the whole game. I thought, man, the fix is in. Because the Knicks playing with a depleted roster went from a night game to a day game. When they got down by about 30, I said, you know what? They just need to sit everybody because they need the rest. And then what did they do? They sat on the bench. They looked. They got pissed off. And I saw that fire in their eyes. I was like, they're going to wax these motherfuckers. They're going to wax the faces when we get back. They are going to put a spanking on that ass. I watched that whole game.
I'll take it a step further, Dom, and this is where you come in. I don't think those particular three Knicks, the Villanova Knicks, I don't think they ever been blown out like that college,
even high school.
So that's a first for them as a core. They never got smoked like that.
But guys, did you see their faces when they were sitting on the bench? You could see smoke coming out their eyes. And I knew right then the Pacers are in trouble. They're going to get spanked.
I thought Josh Hart was going to cry.
No, you know the first thing I thought, fellas? Man, again, going back to Av with the pundits had Denver for dead. Denver lost by 26 points. Next game they win by 27. I'm like, I'm pretty sure the Knicks could do that against this team who plays no defense. Denver did it against the best defensive team in the league. The Knicks are playing the worst defensive team in the league. I'm like, man, there's a possibility we are going to smoke them at the Garden on Tuesday. And that's just what they did.
Right.
But they got the rest. That was important.
Uh-huh. All right, so question for everybody in the group here. Prediction. Do we close it out Friday night, or do we bring it back for Game 7?
I hope we close it out. I think we win.
Yeah.
If we're not in Game 6, we'll win in Game 7, but I think we're done in 6. I think we get in a game six. They got the extra game because of the Caitlin Clark WNBA game on Thursday, the Indiana WNBA team. So that's why they're playing on Friday. So I think we have a chance to close it out. I think this is a group that's going to close it out. What about everybody else?
Yeah, no, it's a wrap. I would say it's a wrap more so because Brunson is back. Brunson is moving like ain't nothing wrong with that foot, right? So I'm hoping that can continue, then I know the adjustment that Thibodeau made, and I don't give Thibodeau a lot of credit all the time, but the adjustment he made was not letting Brunson chuck the ball up every possession, right? Somebody take that ball out of his hand and set up a play, please. You know what I'm saying? For him, right? The play could be for him. Just get the ball out of his hands so people won't drape him, you know what I'm saying, the full court. That was what was tiring him out. You know what I'm saying? Like Nimhard all on his back, Nate Smith all on his back, TJ McConnell all on his back. You know what I'm saying? So that was and then the double screen they was doing to get him downhill. I was loving that. I was like, oh, they don't even got nothing to stop that. So they finished. They done.
And on top of that, I mean, just look at his stat line. It wasn't like they slowed him down in those two games, but it wasn't by much. He was still maneuvering. He was still even on that bad wheel. He was still getting in the paint. He was still taking up and chucking up tough shots. He's still making them. He was still getting to the line. I mean, I would hope that he would improve his free throw shooting a little bit, just a little bit more. But aside from that, I mean, Brunson. He's in another level right now, and I just don't see how Indiana is going to be able to slow him down enough. Right. I mean, if their game plan is to let Brunson only beat you and not anybody else, then they may have a chance. Because if they're letting Brunson do what let him cook and get his money and get his points,
well,
but everybody else doesn't do anything, then maybe they have a chance. But if Brunson is Brunson, and DiVincenzo or Hart or McBride or Hartenstein is killing them on the glass. This series is a freaking wrap.
Mm-hmm. Right. Either mm-hmm. or for me whether Brunson is Brunson in Game 6 or Game 7, just beat Brunson in one of those two games and we'll be fine. But let me say this real quick, 2 points, and we'll go around for final thoughts. The rest of the NBA, DiVincenzo in Game 3. That's the difference that we've been seeing on the road pretty much all year round. He goes off with these scoring explosions. I would love to see that in Game 6. I mean, he's the reason why Quentin Grimes is in Detroit at Coney Island restaurants all up over Woodward and 8 Mile in Detroit. That's why Grimes is out in Detroit. Because see, I don't think DiVincenzo – I didn't think Knicks fans or even the Knicks players knew that DiVincenzo was going to do all this. I mean, he had this in him in Villanova, but when he came into the league to Milwaukee and Golden State, they kind of neutered him. Budenholzer and Steve Kerr, I can understand the Golden State situation because of the guards on those teams, because they're going to get the bulk of the minutes in Jordan Poole. But DiVincenzo, just didn't get the time or the opportunity like he is getting with the Knicks. And Tom Thibodeau, Grimes had his chances to prove and show and prove, and he did it. He just took his job, and this, the rest has been history. And the last point, and I'll say this, and you guys can say this in your final thoughts, this is why I don't care about what the pundits say. I don't care what other Knicks fans, or I do care what Knicks fans say for speaking for themselves, but this is why when we were here, we were backing the Julius Randle signing at the time, summers ago,
mm-hmm.
why he should be
mm-hmm.
a Knick, and we were right about that. But even when we said about Jalen Brunson and how a lot of Knicks fans wanted Donovan Mitchell and how a lot of Knicks fans wanted Halliburton and all that, listen, mm-hmm. I think things kind of looked out quite fine right now. Don't you guys think? I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
Man. I mean, we were saying from the jump, this is the point. All of us, for the most part, I was like, I know I was pro-Brunson, pro-Randle. I mean, at first we didn't know where R.J. Barrett was going to be. I didn't think he was going to be traded, but we thought it was like a left-handed shooter in attack type of squad. But hey, listen, I think we've been quite fine without the services of Spider Mitchell, Halliburton, I think we're quite fine. What do you guys think? And then final thoughts. So let's get final thoughts right now for everybody. We can get some from the rest of the league as well. Who wants to go first? You want to go first, Live or Dom? Or?
Yeah, I kick it, right? So yeah. definitely on that on that we've done very well with Big Body Brunson. You understand what I'm saying? Like last night has taken me off of. That's why I was stuttering when I was saying Halliburton, my guy, because I was a Halliburton guy. I would not want that cream puff in no foxhole. Get him out of here. He's done. He's finished.
He had a lot of Frankie headlights in him last night. A lot of Frankie headlights.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying, right? You know what I'm saying. So he's done. I'm finished. I'm so glad we got Brunson, man, and I so hope that he could be here for a very long time and get us this chip along with Randall and the whole squad. You know, again, man, you know what I'm saying, it's just so good. I have not experienced this since the 90s, and this is reinforced by, you know, messing with you guys, man, you know what I'm saying, knowledgeable cats who I even turned some of my thoughts around. I go, oh, that's a good point. You know what I'm saying? I love this, man. I love this, and I love being here so much that I believe, you know what I'm saying, we could beat the Celtics, man. We can win.
You ever watch The Terminator, the second movie, the sequel, where the T-1000 kind of morphed into other people? That's kind of what Josh Hart is. He's kind of going downhill like what Julius Randle would have done, or he would be knocking down threes like Ananobi would. He's just like a, I don't know, like, what kind of character is that? Like a guy who like metamorphoses into other people and do what they do? He's rebounding like goddamn Richard Robinson. It's fucking crazy.
It's Swiss Army knife. Swiss right. Army knife. You know? And so.
That's
Cam Reddish. Remember, that was debatable for me.
Josh Hart is what you would call a shapeshifter, because he can run the point for like a minute and then shift into becoming a center in the next, and it'll be all in the same possession. I mean, it goes without saying, it's been said a bunch of times over, you know, by broadcasters, so I'm just going to reiterate it exactly how they say it. There is nobody in this league that goes coast to coast like Josh Hart does, except for maybe LeBron James. And that's saying something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Shout out to Live, man. Thank you, man. Anything else like that, Live, before we go to Dom?
Yeah, nah. Bleed blue, baby. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all guys, man. Peace.
Oh, man. Shout out to Live, man. Thank you, man. And Dom, man. Nostradamus. I mean,
when you refer to Josh Hart, you got to say Hart. Josh Hart. Like Bond. James Bond.
Yeah.
He does everything.
Yeah, there it is.
But my closing thing is going to be the question y'all ask. I always tell you guys, man, numbers don't lie. People lie with numbers. Indiana Pacers average giving up 120 points per game. Our three wins, 121, 131, 121. Numbers don't lie, people. They are probably one of the worst defensive teams left in the playoffs. Well, they were probably one of the worst teams that made the playoffs defensively. So sooner or later, guys, the chickens come home to roost, cream rises to the top, and 85% of the time, guys, no matter how many times we debate it and get pissed off about it because we've been on the other end, the better team normally wins. We are the better team. This should put a lot of people's stupid theories to bed. We shouldn't have played that hard to get that second seed. Well, you know what? Now it's paying off because we had home court advantage, and we took advantage of it. So, you know, there's guys, I'm already looking beyond this, man, because I always looked at this year and what we're doing is we're a year ahead of where we're supposed to be. Man, we're playing with house money, guys. We're playing with house money, and we're getting ready to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Tell me who got it better than us. Us on this line, like I said, Steve, earlier, we've seen the 17-win season. We was around for that. We was doing shows for that, remember? We was doing shows for Phil Jackson.
1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
we go get the coffee.
Yeah, we was here for the Phil Jackson changing the culture. Yeah. And he gave us Lopez, Derek Williams, and a follow. That was going to change the culture, and we won 17 games.
Yeah.
So we seen the worst, guys. And you know what? It's time, because we couldn't do it in a long time, fellas. It's time for us to stick our chests out. We could pump our chests now. We don't got to hide. We don't got to say we suck, because we did. We actually did suck. But now's the time we can stand up. We can put our Nick hat on with some damn pride and say, you know what, man? We suffered. We're back. Give Thibodeau his extension. I don't care what anybody says. Defund the minute police. Let's give him his extension. He has brought this franchise from the abyss to where we are today. On that note, guys, like I always say, go Knicks, bleed blue. I love each and every one of you guys, man. This is great. Let's keep it going. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, guys. Give me 1 minute, and then I'll pass off to you. You have the final 2 minutes. That's crazy that people were talking fire Thibodeau. I'm not even in those circles, so, you know, that's just crazy talk. Like, that's insanity. You know what I'm saying? So let's just leave that there. But we need to do an instant replace the caucus or something on the executives of the year. How could the Knicks not get that shit? That doesn't make no sense to me. I can understand given the OKC coach of the year. You can sell me on that. But the depth of this roster, what we're doing right now in the second round, with the players that are like the 11th, 12th player in the rotation is still contributing, like a lot of our top five guys going down. Oh, no, four of our top six guys going down. And we're still up one game in the series with a chance to go to the ECF. The Knicks should – I'm not trying to be biased, but how can you not? Because like what Dom said and Av said, if any other team was in our position losing four of their top six players, they'd be cooked. They all of them, Boston, Denver, they'd be fucked. Every last one of them, Dallas. Yo, I'm just mind-boggled that the Knicks didn't get that shit. Not that I necessarily care, but come on, man. That's why I say, yo, these awards type shit needs to be on some sort of consistent metric across the board. Players, coaches, executives, they got to do it. They got to revamp the system because this is some bullshit. But, Av, I'll pass off the mic to you for the last 2 minutes. Close this out, man, and IG Live after Knicks games, man. You're doing a fantastic job over there. Love it, man. Been sharing the shit out of it, man. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it. On that note that you just mentioned, you know, if it were any other team, you know, those talking heads would be eulogizing their season right now for just about any other team. If you lose four of your top six or seven players in the thick of the playoffs, they'd be eulogizing them right now, just as they were doing for us right after Sunday. But that's neither here nor there, because the sermon today, folks, is that Amari Stoudemire said this about 14, 15 years ago. The Knicks are back. We've been trying so hard to believe that. And there have been glimpses and moments of hope where that started to ring true. But ladies and gentlemen, those who bleed orange and blue, like everyone on this panel and everybody who's ever listened to me or listened to Steve, listened to Dom, listened to Live, listened to Sim, Marlo, all, you know, Anna, every person who's ever been on this on this platform, the Knicks are back. They are back in a big way because we are one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And not only that, we are just one step closer to achieving basketball nirvana. Because as if anyone's paying attention, the Boston Celtics right now are playing game five against the Cleveland Cavaliers, a team that's missing most of their big stars, and they're only up five in the fourth quarter. Now, why is that relevant? Even if the Celtics end up pulling this series out, that should just tell you the kind of team that we will be facing up against in the next round, a team that has a tendency to mail it in. They are without Kristaps Porzingis, which we all know very well. He's a great player, but he should not be that much of a difference maker when you have a team consisting of Drew Holiday, Jaylen Brown, and of course, Jason Tatum. And, of course, the it's mind-boggling to me that no one is saying this but me. As far as I know, I am the only person saying this on all platforms. The Knicks are title contenders. I strongly believe this. The Knicks will be NBA champions. They at least had the strongest argument. And just like in 1994, the Larry O'Brien and Lord Stanley's Cup will finally meet and converge at Madison Square Garden. And if you believe that, you bleed blue. Thank you so much for listening, folks. This has been a great ride. See you guys on Friday night, right after the Knicks clinch this series and move on to the ECF. It's going to be a wild ride because the Larry O'Brien Trophy, it's somewhere here in New York, I think it is, and I don't think it's going anywhere. On Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on Threads, Knickerbocker Ave. Bleed blue all day, every day. Sangre azul y naranja. Good night.
A finger to the rest, here we go for the Knicks. It's like tick, a finger to the rest, here we go for the Knicks. Tick, a finger to the rest, here we go for the Knicks. It's like,
can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleed blue, bleed blue, bleed.